It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
WRKS Pickens Jackson.
Are you ready?
Yes!
Now live from the Whiskey 61 Lounge inside the Bank Plus Studio.
You are listening to
Mississippi's number one sports talk show, The Out of Bounds Show with Bo Bounds.
Streaming worldwide live from the Out of Bounds radio app and on your radio
at ESPN 105.9.
Ignition.
The Zone.
Out of Bounds, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, presented by The Amazing Steaks. Just about any cut you want at Kessler Prime and the Renaissance. Visit KesslerPrime.com to make a reservation. Ribeyes, fillets, New York strips, porterhouse. Always go rack of lamb. All kinds of options, KesslerPrime.com. We're streaming live on the Out of Bounds radio app and the Zone1059.com. And you can hit us up on the Farm Bureau Insurance call-in line, 601-707-3750. Twitter handle, at Bo Bounds. Follow us on Twitter. And then, of course, what was Mississippi Ag is now Ag Up Equipment. And your Ag Up Equipment text line is 601-885-3776. Parrish Alford will stop by at 8:30. Ole Miss baseball insider Parrish Alford. Mike Bianco kind of left for dead a month plus ago, and now Ole Miss is hotter than hot. They're as hot as just about any team in the country, and they just swept LSU at LSU, and they're number 38 on WarrenNolan.com. 24 strength of schedule, and they host A&M this weekend. They should win that series, put themselves in pretty good position going into Hoover, do whatever they do there, and then get in a regional travel, and we'll see. There's a good possibility that they will be the most talented team in their regional, even though they'll have to travel. Tennessee comes to Starkville this weekend. Boy, that'll be fun. Is there enough bourbon or beer in the foul pole to foul pole, what is called the left field lounge, but is, I mean, there's just me Riggs in right field as it is in left, and it goes foul pole to foul pole, and you've got the student section in right field, and they party and have fun. You got Terry Powell in right field. That's all you need. And I think that people will show up. It won't be by any stretch like an amazing out of this world crowd, but people are so invested. They'll show up, they'll cook, they'll do their thing. Don't forget, it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday this weekend. They move it up because of Hoover the next week in Birmingham, the SEC tournament. But MSU can't win a game, and Ole Miss is red hot. MSU's not going anywhere. And probably not going to Hoover. What's scary is they're within a game or so of going, which is unbelievable because it doesn't feel like they've won a game in 3 weeks. And things have just unraveled, and they can't pitch or hit their way to a win. You thought they may have one Friday night, and A&M flipped it on them late. They're up 7-4 and kind of in the catbird seat, and then things just didn't go their way. So Lamona Scotro and Fox Hall will have a lot of work to do in the offseason. They know that. I don't know who's staying or who's going, but the guys to keep an eye on are Kellum Clark, Cam James, and Luke Hancock. And then I don't know what's going to happen on the mound. Preston Johnson will be interesting. Do you give him a $10,000 NIL deal to stay because, and then put him in maybe a different spot? He's actually set you up a couple of times to win. You just can't hang on. No. He doesn't start well for whatever reason, but then he settles down and will give you like four innings of not giving up a run.
He is the prototypical MLB start right now. If you look at Major League Baseball, even a lot of the aces, they'll give up runs in the first inning and then go six innings total and not give up any more runs.
Yeah.
That's Preston Johnson. It's like something, they get jumped on early and then they go five innings of no runs. And it's just really weird.
He's pitched well at times. Cade Smith's been good. You're really going to lean on a couple players coming back, Cade Smith and Hunter Hines.
Do you need to take the Lane Kiffin approach? Is that the answer to not being talent deficient next year? Lamonis and company have to hit the portal for true difference makers?
Yes, they will.
And I mean like five or six
guys.
They
passed on several, being loyal to a bunch of, it's fine. I mean, a bunch of guys who were role players in on that national championship team. And those guys just, to be frank, they didn't take their game to another level.
Pulling the sled from the front is different than pulling it from the eighth position.
When you know Tanner Allen and Rowdy Jordan are going, most of the time, perform.
And you have Landon Sims.
It allows you to perform after they perform, and there's a big deal in life and business in that.
Yep.
Okay? If you're the big game hunter in your company, it makes salesperson number two, three, and four
better.
Absolutely. Yep. It's the same thing with TA, same thing with Mangum, the same thing with what Ole Miss is hoping they're experiencing right now through really big-time clutch hitting. When you have somebody else do it, it lets you go get in the box and it's already been done.
Yep.
And then you can do your thing without all the pressure on you.
Tanner Allen ties it so that Brad Cumbis can win it.
Yeah.
Right? It's the same. It's not a shot. Like, they're good players, but I just think that's what you saw.
Or Tanner Allen gives you the lead and they can add on to it.
The void of that leadership is so evident now that Mississippi State hasn't had since pre-Mangum.
And then you realize that Landon Sims was the greatest closer the school has ever had.
Yes.
Even if it was only one season. He was the number one closer in the country last year. And he wasn't just good. He was elite and transcendent. How many people he shut down for you in the eighth, but definitely the ninth inning. And in postseason play, he was perfect.
The highest leverage.
He was perfect.
Highest leverage situations. So,
Ole Miss is looking for that. They got the juice from Hunter Elliott over the weekend. He was amazing on Saturday. They're getting the right guys to get to two strikes on hitters and punch them out or get them out. And then they're finding a way to manufacture base runners. Yesterday against LSU, it was guys who were walking at times. And it doesn't matter how you do it. It's a matter of, can you apply pressure in the game? And they did.
Is this run for Ole Miss a positive end to the legacy of Mike Bianco, or is it an extension to the career of Mike Bianco?
I don't know yet.
Well, I'm asking you to pontificate.
Well, the story is still being written, but it will come down to this. He's got to go to Omaha.
That's the ultimate swing point. He has to reach Omaha.
As excited as they are right now, and they should be, let me say that again. As excited as they are right now, and they should be, it is still about winning big games in the postseason. Do you want to take the series this weekend? Absolutely. That's not what they're playing for. Don't kid yourself. The February 15th expectations are still in play 100%. This is not about going to a regional and losing on Sunday and everybody feeling good. It's simply not going to happen. Mm-hmm. This is about winning big in the postseason And I mean winning in Omaha, Nebraska at TD Ameritrade.
Yep.
And this team is capable of doing it. Now, will they? I don't know. That's what's going to be fun. And it will extend. We are transitioning. Well, I screwed that up. We're transitioning to some football. And we're going to do that in the next segment. We are going to drop the Saban audio in the next segment. But Ole Miss could make this wild and fun over the next few weeks. And again, they have the lineup of all these guys that have been in the program forever. You know, and it's a look what LSU ran into.
Yeah.
They had no answer.
If Ole Miss pitches well, the offense is there. The talent, the experience.
Look how deep they are. Bench, Gonzalez, Elko, Graham, Alderman. That doesn't count McCants, Leatherwood, and Chatagnier. It's unreal. We'll see what happens. It is all about Omaha, though. The Out of Bounds Show. ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Brought to you by the Spray and Bedliners and Lift Kits at Rick's Pro Truck. RPT commercial at the airport across from Muskelly. We will drop the Saban audio coming up next and Lane Kiffin's reaction.
I have to tell you about this game-changing product I used before a night out with drinks. It's called Z-Biotics. Every time I have a Z-Biotics before I drink, I notice a difference the next day, even after a night out. For example, when we smash steaks and drink bourbon and so on, I do it without worry because of Z-Biotics. You should too. Go to zbiotics.com/OOB to get 15% off your first order when you use OOB at checkout. Z-Biotics is backed with 100% money-back guarantee, so if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money. No questions asked. Remember to head to zbiotics.com/OOB and use the code OOB at checkout for 15% off. Thank you, ZBiotics, for sponsoring this episode and our good times. Cheers. Hey, y'all. You know I love my meal kits from Home Chef. Home Chef is awesome. Wendy and I love it. We've ordered the meals. Empty Nesters makes it easy for delicious, nutritious meals brought to you by Home Chef. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering my listeners 18 free meals plus free dessert for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/OOB. That's homechef.com/OOB for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. homechef.com/OOB. We love it. You'll love it. Wendy and I love it. Check out Home Chef today.
Good morning. Welcome in. Out of Bounds. I'm your host, Bo Bounds. Parrish Alford coming up next. Ole Miss Baseball Insider on the Corona Premier Guest Line. Good morning. Welcome in. Hope you're doing well. The show is brought to you by the Premium Cigars at Havana Smoke Shop. Two locations across from Shaggy's at the Reservoir, I-55 North in Jackson. And also Independent Roofing Systems, the number one commercial roofing company in the state of Mississippi. The projects that they've completed is top 1% since 1980. It's amazing. Independent Roofing Systems, roofing.ms. All right, ESPN 105.9 The Zone. Blake Scott, I'm your host, Bo Bounce, and we've got some audio here. Now, Nick Saban, wherever he goes, he's going to be asked questions about what's going on in the world of college football, where we're going, and there's a lot of change going on, and the sport will continue to evolve. And some of you like it, some of you don't, and that's fine. And Saban was at a golf tournament, and they, you know, I love this word in college football because it doesn't exist. But he was asked about parody, and this is what the king and the goat said about parody.
Well, you know, I think one of the things that I'd like to see us be able to work back to is, you know, everything in college football has always had parity. You know, same scholarship, you know, same academic support, healthcare, whatever it is. And, you know, I don't think we have that balance right now, which could affect, you know, the parity of college football and college athletics as a whole. So, and I know we got a lot of good people working on it, and I'm sure they'll come up with a good solution for us.
That is all BS, and I love Nick Saban. Who are all these good people that are coming up with these good solutions for college football? Where are they? I want to know.
What's that 70s movie where he's like, we have our top men working on it.
Yeah.
Who are top men?
Right. First of all, there is no commissioner of college football like there should be. And the ADs and presidents can't really get on the same page. They're the ones that really make up the NCAA. We like to blame Indianapolis when really it's your collection of SEC presidents and ADs, ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, Pac-12, whatever. We still lump G5 in with P5. Makes no sense. Should be a separate deal. And so Saban talks parity. Can I ask you a question? When was the last time there was parity in college football? Please tell me this magical era of parity.
When there were like 16 teams in 1895 or something?
I, there's a finite amount of talent, so there will only be so much parity. Now, what Blake and I debated yesterday is, can we get up to six teams that can truly compete? We don't even have that now. This past year, it was obvious. Bama, Georgia, nobody else. There was no one in the... Michigan got abused and embarrassed in the college football playoff. There was no parity. Yeah. There was no parity in the Southeastern Conference.
No.
There was no parity in the Big Ten.
Nope.
There was no parity in the Big 12, the Pac-12, whatever. Now, there weren't any good teams in the Pac-12. That's going to change with Lincoln Riley leaving Oklahoma and going to Southern Cal. It is on for Southern Cal. They're going to win it this win the Pac-12, in my opinion, this year, if they can get past Utah. And by next year, because of the portal, Lincoln will really have that program rolling. Mm-hmm. Billy Napier is about to get Florida going. We'll see what crystal ball is not as good as Billy Napier and Lincoln Riley, as far as he doesn't really specialize on one side of the ball to make you pop. But crystal ball has some good things going at Miami. Here's what I can tell you that I think is different from when I was growing up, not these three in the room and Blake and Will and Reeves. But when I was growing up, Notre Dame and Penn State could still win the national title.
Yeah.
And so could Michigan. That is no longer the case today. So you can go ahead and take Notre Dame, Penn State, and Michigan, three big brands, just massive alumni bases, very wealthy alumni bases. They're not going to win it. They're not going to win it. The only team that can win it in that footprint is Ohio State. And I wonder if Ohio State's about to get in a little bit of a bind, because I don't know how many players now that Mario and Napier and even Norvell, but Florida State's not close to the level of Florida and or Miami when they're run well. I don't know how many players you can talk into getting on a plane and flying to Columbus, Ohio, if the Florida coach and the Miami coach, and to a certain extent the FSU coach, if they're doing what they're supposed to be doing in in-state Florida recruiting. And that doesn't count Saban going down there. Better, again, better trip to get to T-Town. Georgia, LSU's had made hay in South Florida, and even some other teams, Ole Miss and Mississippi State, Ole Miss especially, has gone down to South Florida and made some hay. So as you look at the landscape, can we get up to six teams that can really compete? Because that's really, I guess my question is, can you get to four?
Because right now we're...
Then can you get to six?
Right now we're at three, we would argue, right? So it'd be Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State.
Yeah,
and the three mainstays.
I think Georgia takes a step back this year.
Yes.
But I could be wrong.
So if you have those three who are in a position to where they can compete almost every year, the other question, or I guess what we talked about yesterday when you and I were perusing down this topic, was who are the teams that need, if they get the quarterback right, have the other things there, that can step up and win. So we've seen LSU.
Yeah.
Fits that, obviously.
Joe Burrow.
Right. So we can put LSU down as one of those.
Does Burrow's season trump Cam's?
Yeah, 100%. Although
I want to be careful because just because Burrow did it a different... Well, first of all, Burrow had great NFL wide receivers
around
him.
That's what I was
about
to say.
And Cam did not.
Correct.
But just because Cam had to run it some, I don't want to take anything away from the big plays that he had to make in the red zone for Auburn to get to the national championship game.
Yeah.
But anyway, I just thought about that for a second.
So I would put LSU in that category in the SEC.
Sure.
The other SEC team that I would put in is who you just said, Auburn, because we've seen them do it. They have the talent profile that if they hit the QB position, they can play for a national title.
I don't think they can today, but I see what you're talking about, that they've done it. I'm actually going Florida.
You think going forward they cannot?
No.
Okay, so you would say Florida, but not Auburn.
I would take the Florida Gators are the biggest brand, and when run well...
Can do it.
Absolutely.
And I agree. I was going to put them in, too. I was and also going to put Auburn.
It's weird for people to hear, but they're more of a destination than Alabama. Than Tuscaloosa.
Correct.
All right, go ahead.
So if you don't put Auburn in, then that's the only SEC teams that I would say. Auburn, Georgia, LSU, I'm sorry, Alabama, Georgia, LSU, Florida. We have Ohio State in. We know obviously what they are right now. They can still compete at that level. The next two teams have not done it, but I think they fall into the category of if they hit the QB position correctly, they have everything else there.
Okay.
Southern Cal,
yes.
Texas.
Yes.
Okay. So that right there puts us at... 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 teams. Clemson is one that I don't think can continue to operate at what they were within the last 5 years.
It doesn't look like it.
Okay, so I wouldn't put them
not
on...
Not after losing all their coordinators.
I wouldn't put them on that list right now.
And Dabo pulled a Mike Leach. He did a lot of promoting from within, and that scares me. Like Bartu said about Mike Leach needs to rewire his brain from Texas Tech and Washington State, where you didn't have any money. And you had to promote from within to you're now at Mississippi State and you get $60 million a year from the conference before you sell a ticket or a suite or a club level and go. I think Mike and his chief of staff are still operating on 6 years ago or 10 years ago. And I think that is a bad mistake.
So is there anyone out of the ACC who you put in that category?
Miami.
So you would say Miami's at the point where they can win it if they get the QB right?
Well...
Or do you still put Clemson in this in that because they have
got... Well, I'm going to keep Clemson in there until they just totally...
Step back.
Leave the grid.
Okay, so Clemson, and you'd put Miami in that category too.
I will.
All right.
That's it. It's not Penn State, it's not Notre Dame, and it's not Michigan.
That's 9 teams that potentially could win a national title.
And that's
title.
A stretch. And it will never line up in 1 year that they're all really good and you have this magic parity. That will never happen. I think your net would probably be 4, Blake. We'd actually like to have a playoff with 4 teams that can win it. We haven't. Parrish Offer coming up next on Ole Miss Baseball. We'll be back in a second. ESPN 105 down the zone.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Yeah.
The
Out of Bounds Show is powered by the award-winning golf courses at Dancing Rabbit Golf Club in Philadelphia, Mississippi.
Good morning. Welcome in. We are the Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance. Bundle your auto and home. Save with your local Farm Bureau insurance agent in any of the 82 counties in the state of Mississippi. Hit favorites.com. Farm Bureau Insurance, call in line 601-707-3750. We were talking Ole Miss baseball today. And so they've won seven in a row, six conference games in a row. They host Texas A&M, who is a nice team. But Ole Miss should win this series this weekend, go to Hoover, do whatever they do, and then punch their ticket to the postseason. Here's my take on it. It's the same as February 15th. It's all about rolling through the postseason. This is, I don't believe, but for one second, the fan base is going to be good with, now that, you know, this turnaround's great. It's something to get excited about. But I don't believe in a couple of weeks, if they go to a regional and lose, that'll be okay. Or go to a super regional and lose. It's still the same deal. And I know that sounds crazy. They're not going to host, which I think may actually play in their favor because of the pressure. But the bottom line is this is about winning and winning big in the postseason. And they have a loaded lineup. Bench, Gonzalez, Elko, Graham, Alderman. And it just goes on and on. But they're getting it on the bump, too. I mean, Hunter Elliott was fabulous on Saturday, among others, over the weekend in Baton Rouge. And they swept the Tigers. So we want to welcome in Parrish Alford. He has been covering Mike Bianco since Bianco started at Ole Miss. And he joins us on the Corona Premier Guest Line. Parrish Alford, djournal.com, djournal.com. Also, their Facebook page is popping, where they're constantly uploading fresh content and telling you what's going on with Ole Miss. All right, Parrish, so what is your one big takeaway from the last two weekends with this Ole Miss baseball team?
Well, I just think you nailed the one big takeaway, man. It's all about the postseason. Now, you would rather see this team get hot and play well like they're doing than the opposite. You know, you don't want to just flame out at the end, but this is the standard. I mean, it's been set. I mean, we know what the standard is in this for the fan base anyway. I'm talking about, and it's to get to Omaha. I mean, there's just nothing that Ole Miss could accomplish short of getting to Omaha is going to change that discussion. Now, what they're doing right now is exciting, and they're playing well, and it just makes you ask, where has this hitting been most of the season with all of these guys returning? You know, why the struggle for so much of the season to put yourself in a position to make every game a pressure game right now? But what is interesting, Bo, and I don't think they'll host, but if they were to sweep Texas A&M, and that's not outside the realm of possibility. I mean, I saw A&M pitchers leave a lot of balls in the zone this weekend against Mississippi State. But if they were to sweep, if Ole Miss were to sweep A&M, the Rebels would be 16-14 in conference play. They've hosted regionals at 16-14. You know, the RPI, I don't think, is going to jump 20 spots and give them a chance to do that. But they would be 16-14 if they were to sweep A&M.
Parrish Alford on the Out of Bounds Show and the Corona Premier Guest Line. They're hitting, and then they're getting some good production from the bump, Parrish. I mean, when you look at Hunter Elliott and some of the guys on the back end when they needed in close games, you don't ever know, but things could be coming together both on the mound and at the plate. Parrish?
They could. I still think that while they have found two good starters with Dylan DeLucia and Hunter Elliott, I just don't think they have that third really good dependable starter that is going to that you got to have, that you need to get through a regional, that you need to get through a super regional. It becomes so much about pitching at this stage of the season, and I believe they've taken some strides and they've developed here a little bit late. I just don't think they're where they need to be for a postseason run.
Do you put, you know, this team meeting that happened after the Mississippi State game on Sunday a few weeks ago, you put a lot of stock in that? Look, they've got a bunch of dudes on this team, as you know, Parrish, that have played well north of 150 games in college baseball, which is valuable. And they've got a ton of veterans who have seen it all and done it all. That's why we thought that they would make, you know, be really good all year. How much stock do you put into the team meeting after the state series?
Yeah, I don't think the team meeting, I don't put a lot of stock in the team meeting. I don't know that that's necessarily what gets you on a roll. I mean, I think what gets you on a roll is a very random thing, and it's one guy or maybe two guys who suddenly are playing well. And look, for Ole Miss, I think those guys are Kemp Alderman and Kevin Grant. I mean, it looks like they've hit consistently here down the stretch. They've gotten some big hits, and so that's two guys in their lineup that are feeling it. And all of a sudden, you know, Peyton Chatagnier's having a nice weekend. You know, yeah. it just kind of builds. And I don't think that all comes from, airing your feelings in a private meeting. I mean, I'm sure there's some value in that. You just need to talk it out sometimes. But I just think that getting on a roll is more of a random thing. I mean, if they could have a team meeting and flip the switch, you know, they could have done that earlier in the season. I do think that after the state series, there was a lot of frustration. You know, they played well at Arkansas, could have won that series. Mm-hmm. And they have looked different, but I just don't put a lot of stock in, hey, we had a meeting and that was it. I mean, you know, it was interesting.
This is a team that this is a program that hasn't handled postseason pressure well. Maybe playing away from Swayze could be a little bit of an advantage for them. Parrish, you make a good point, by the way, against A&M this weekend. I expect them to win the series, but they could also sweep. And whatever they do in Hoover is whatever they do. But, you know, there's still a good possibility that wherever they're sent, wherever they're shipped off to, that they're the best team in the regional, right?
I think there are a lot of teams that see themselves as locked into regional hosts right now that are getting ready for that. And, you know, they're marketing people and their ticket people. Everybody's getting ready to host that regional. And, you know, those pairings are going to come out on Memorial Day, and all of a sudden they're going to see Ole Miss is coming in there as a 2 seed. and they're going to think, man, how do we get this team? That's a team that people don't want to face in their regional right now because they are playing at such a higher level. They have figured out some things, and I believe some pitching has developed. And, look, for the last couple of weeks, they've looked like the Ole Miss team that so many people remember for so many seasons and thought they were going to get this year. If they had written off Ole Miss, that, you know, the Rebels are kind of proving them wrong, and I think they're going to make a lot of people nervous when they arrive at their regional.
I agree with that. I do. All right, so third starter is a question mark. You're right on Alderman. Good grief. Is he finding his pop at the plate? I guess you are who you are pretty much on the bump right now, Parrish?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think so. And it's just been late in coming for this team. And see, that's a thing that Mike Bianco's teams have done so well through the years. When they've lost a great pitcher, they've found that next guy. And it just didn't come early this season. You know, we heard all the talk in preseason, the candidates and the guys who were in the mix, to be that rotation, and it just hasn't worked out that way. Neither of the two transfers, John Gaddis or Jack Washburn, neither, you know, jumped up and really took that SEC weekend spot and just held it and did great things. They've had moments, but those guys coming into a program like that, you're hoping one of them is going to find a way to the weekend rotation and be productive, and neither of them were able to hold that. And it's not just transfers. There have been others that just haven't taken the necessary steps. And whereas this team, this program in so many years has found that guy, found that that next pitcher or a couple of pitchers. It just took longer this year. And Hunter Elliott was a guy who was mentioned at the very beginning, you know, a freshman, and he didn't jump up right away, and certainly not all freshmen do that right away, but sure. He has found himself. Dylan DeLucia, again, you know, has become a guy who just who goes deep into games and takes some pressure off the bullpen, and they've come around late.
Freshman Hunter Elliott for Ole Miss pitched a gem on Saturday. Parrish Alford, Ole Miss insider, has been following Mike Bianco for 20 years. And this guy is not going to go away quietly. And Ole Miss is going to punch their ticket to the postseason. It's just a matter of how it all looks, as Parrish said on that Memorial Day Monday. Let's say they take the series this weekend. What is the approach in Hoover? Because can you really make – because I don't know how much – at that point, you're going to be a two seed on the road. What kind of – how do you approach that if you're Bianco and the Rebels, Parrish?
I think they've put themselves in a position where they need to win as many baseball games as they can. Okay. Yeah, they need to win the Texas A&M series. If they could get to 16, I think – if they could get to 16, which would require a sweep, then Hoover changes. I think maybe 16 and 14 in the regular season and a long run in Hoover, maybe get to Saturday in the semifinals, that kind of thing. Maybe you get in that hosting discussion then, depending on what happens in some other conference tournaments and maybe some bubble host teams fall out. But it's just a stretch. It's hard for me to imagine that they would host with a 15 and 15 regular season. I think it would require winning three games this weekend, and I think they're capable of that. I think Texas A&M is a good team, not a great team right now. They've got their own pitching depth issues. Mm-hmm. It would be really, really hard to win three games, but we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, A&M didn't really impress me over the weekend. I mean, they're good. But Mississippi State's just, you know, going the opposite direction and can't get out of their own way. Is there anybody else you're looking on at on the roster or squad that you're thinking either maybe close to doing something or can be a big piece of the puzzle in the postseason for Ole Miss?
I'm not sure. I'm not that in tune with the roster from day to day right now. That would be Michael Katz for us. But I think roles are established. I mean, I don't think there's somebody who's going to come back from injury. You don't have that guy kind of that you're waiting on. I think you get to this point, you kind of know who you are. You've been through the grind, and you've got guys who have been in the rotation and have fallen out and found their way to important bullpen roles. You know, you have guys like that. But I mean, there have been a lot of innings pitched, a lot of at bats. You kind of know who you are.
Yeah. Parrish Alford, Ole Miss insider on the Out of Bounds show and the Corona Premier guest line. Also, it looks like Kentucky and South Carolina could open up. So that's something to think about as we march down the stretch and get closer to the postseason. Parrish, thanks so much. We appreciate it. I can't wait to see how this all shakes out. And big weekend in Oxford. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Bo. Have a good day.
DJournal.com, Parrish Alford, their Facebook page, Ole Miss Discussion with Parrish Alford, loading up fresh content throughout the day. Check that out. Ole Miss Discussion with Parrish Alford. And, of course, DJournal.com. And he referenced Michael Katz, who is their Ole Miss beat writer for DJournal.com. So there you go. Ole Miss has won six conference games in a row, seven in a row overall, and they go down and sweep the LSU Tigers, and now they host an A&M team that if you ran the numbers on it, Ole Miss would be the favorite to take that series. Can they take two? We'll see. Can they sweep? Boy, that would be a lot of momentum going into Hoover. Parrish may be right. They just need to win baseball games, even if they go to Hoover. Although I could see the flip side. You kind of are what you are, and who you know, you're going to be a number two seed if you take care of business this weekend. And but maybe you just want to keep playing in Hoover Met. Mississippi State, their season is over, and they get to host the best team in the country.
Yikes.
I mean, it could be 34-5 this weekend.
Mm.
Like, total score.
In game one?
Oh, no. Over the course of the three games. It could. I think it'll be a dead crowd. Obviously, you're going to have your core group that's going to go, whether it's in the stands or out there, foul pole to foul pole, because it's last game of the year, and they spend a lot of money, and they have too much invested, and they're going to go and have fun.
Yeah.
As they should. But
catching a lot of Tennessee home runs.
That's true. And, you know, they've had every opportunity down the stretch to win. They can't win close games.
They can't win games, period, at this point.
That's right.
Yeah, but you're right. I mean,
that
goes back to even when Landon Sims was healthy. Look at the first game of the season. He pitches you a one run, like seven innings, and you lose 3-0, right? Like, it just, you're, this team from the beginning wasn't built the way they've been built since 2016. But you had a transcendent top four player of the program for four seasons.
Yeah.
And you followed that with the first player to win SEC Player of the Year, National Player of the Year, and get you a national title in Tanner Allen. So for a six-year stretch, you had two of the best eight players in the program's history.
Yes. Well, and Landon's a top 10 program.
Yeah.
A top 10 player, even though it's one, I don't care that it's one season. Kind of Cam Newton at Auburn, okay?
Correct. Yeah.
That's fine. You know, Cam didn't play 3 years. I don't care. He didn't play four. It doesn't matter. You had Landon Sims and Tanner Allen. They're both top 10 players in the program.
Yeah.
And they weren't just good. They were good every single month of the season.
And they both performed at an elite level for the same year, which allowed you to get to the point where Will Bednar could be the best postseason pitcher of all time, right?
Right.
Like, he may not be, you take his whole season, maybe he's not a top five pitcher in program history. But you take his postseason, and he's the number one postseason pitcher in program history. You had all of that come together. That's on top of the 4 years of Jake Mangum. There just was no way. I mean, eventually it had to end. It just...
Yeah, I think people... I think going to a regional kind of like old, you know, and being not hosting and just going and maybe having a shot to play could have been something the fan base could have been okay with.
The fall was farther than anyone expected.
Yeah, but when you've only won 9 conference games.
Let me ask you this question. As much as we're talking about Mike Bianco.
And I don't see him winning a game against Tennessee.
No. As much as we're talking about Mike Bianco and whether or not this is a legacy, you know, ender / legacy definer, like, okay, he'll end on a positive note, or if this actually extends his career in Oxford. On the same token, how do you judge this season for Chris Lemonis, given what he entered in, both COVID and the players that he inherited and how the year went under the national title, to then turn around and have this? I know there's a lot of dissension among the ranks, so to speak, of, well, what is this? Does this say more about the players on the team? Does it say more about the coaching staff? What is your kind of end-of-year synopsis as you look at this Mississippi State program?
I think you give Chris Lemonis the overwhelming benefit of the doubt because he's been to the College World Series twice as your coach. And you take out the COVID years because nobody went.
Yeah.
So he'll be fine. There will be a lot of chatter in the offseason. I have the utmost confidence that they'll turn this around. How about that?
There you go.
Through a combination of several different ways. Transfer portal, guys already there, like Hunter Hines and Cade Smith. Now, if Cam James and Kellum Clark and Luke Hancock come back, I mean, that's guys that have played a ton of baseball. That's usually, not always, usually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And if they all take just a step forward, that's a big deal.
Yeah.
Cam in center, he's super athletic. He can play there. Kellum Clark in left, you'll figure it out at right. Hunter's going to go to first.
Yeah.
You know, you got to work back from there. You got to do a lot up the middle. And We'll see. But I'm not one that thinks that Lamonis can't get it done. I also think that having three head coaches in a short period of time finally caught up with you.
Yeah.
You were able to overcome it and overcome it because some of the players you just referenced that were transcendent and some of the best to ever play in the maroon and white, it just finally caught up to you. A Bianco being at Ole Miss, you know, some of these other guys, O'Sullivan and others.
Yeah. Van Horn is just a machine.
Yeah.
I mean, it's crazy.
And so there was just, I think it finally caught up with you.
Yeah.
And they gave some guys the benefit of the doubt that just.
But that happens when you win the first programs, the first title in program history.
No question.
That you, I hate to say this, but like the whole act like you've been there before. I mean, Mississippi State's never been there before. So I don't think anyone expected the step back that you saw. And there were some extenuating circumstances that made the step back even larger than it would have normally been. But you just.
Yeah, the staff was decimated injury-wise.
And you just didn't maybe handle the post-championship boost the right way, you know? There could have been maybe more done in the portal, maybe more to immediately bolster yourself.
There's no question you could have gotten three players in the portal that wanted to come, and you passed because you wanted to give the players who had played roles the benefit of the doubt on a national championship team.
And I think what this shows you, and it's what Nick Saban
let's just go ahead and call it. Tanner Allen may be the best player that you ever had in the program.
It legitimately might be. And that's crazy to say that, coming out of Jake Maven.
Tanner will not have the same pro career as Will Clark and Rafael Palmeiro. That's not what I'm saying. Tanner Allen may be the best college baseball player.
He played from day one.
That you've ever had.
And he played like a superstar from day one. It's pretty remarkable.
And he was a super, super, superstar. He was the National Player of the Year last year.
It's hard to, again.
Yes, he was the SEC Player of the Year. He was the How many Mississippi State and Ole Miss players in one of the big three sports have been National Player of the Year?
Maybe Will Clark, and that's it. I don't know if there's anybody else.
Okay.
Will and Tanner. I mean, that's like Jake Mangum didn't get National Player of the Year. Brent Rooker, who won the Triple Crown, didn't get National Player of the Year. I mean, you can go back and back. And he did it almost quietly in the shadow of Jake Mangum, whose image was more transcendent than Tanner Allen's until he won the national title.
Until the very end.
Probably 50-50 maybe.
That's right.
But the shadow of Mangum, to have a Tanner Allen behind Jake Mangum is just unheard of.
It would be like having a Cam Newton and then having
Joe Burrow right after.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's just you go from Eli straight into someone, you know, Drew Brees, right? It doesn't matter.
All right, thanks for the tease. Yeah. Speaking of, what is Drew Brees talking about? I love Drew Brees. The guy's amazing. He's a winner. Everything you want in your franchise. Just a solid, solid citizen. What's he talking about? I'm leaving the door open to play again. Play what? Arena League football? I don't understand. The Out of Bounds Show, ESPN 105.9 The Zone, is brought to you by Fleetway Market. Fuel up at Fleetway Market. And don't forget about the Market Cafe at Fleetway Market in Glugstadt. Fuel up at Fleetway Market.